welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 518. My quote is in mime because it's that bit where they were looking at each other through the windows. So that's basically it. That's the bit where they're looking at each other through the windows and talking to each other in the medium of mime, which is one of my favourite bits. And here's Ben Shoveler.
Now, interestingly, mine was going to be that bit in mime they did through the windows. And I actually sat there and transcribed everything they said to each other. But then I thought, no, someone else is going to do that. So I wrote down two more. Now, shall I go with health and safety, film department?
Nice.
Or you're just a long streak of nothing.
Yeah. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
No, I've met cat people. You're nothing like them.
Yeah. And Mary Lang.
You ain't meeting with me,
Yes.
Another
cracking quote. Oh, dear. So this week we're going to be reviewing Partners in Crime. Stuff's coming through on the feed already. And there's something I do have to get ready. Because an early mention is required for... Hang on, let's get me jingles up and running. I had the priority jingle folder open. Right, and I've got myself ready and everything. Right there. Why aren't they in alphabetical order? Make things easier for me. Right. Tim got a bit cross about the Kylie aspect of last week's show.
Oh, didn't he? Didn't he? Oh, yeah. someone's a Jason Donovan fan.
I found it tedious.
I must have missed something.
Well, no, it was funny. It was somebody posted something about the Kylie thing, and so, I was pretty sure somebody else said it was because it started with somebody saying how funny the show was. I think it was Robert Vence Jr. Good taste, Robert. But unfortunately,
Deb joined in too. She agreed with him.
Yeah. So I tell you what, it's never too late to. Oh, darn! Sorry about that. That's 6 seconds. never too late to
no more
to to listen to a bit of Kylie. Isn't that right, Ben?
Well, you've got to be certain.
No, I better not do that. I don't want to upset Tim.
No, don't do it again. You
have well, I thought it was quite funny. So after most,
I enjoyed it for a time.
I got rather tired of you guys continuing on with that.
Do you remember who started it, Kirby?
I don't. You did. So Tim, someplace, decided to say something.
Yeah, he said it was a really good show up to the Kylie bit.
Oh, I missed
which started about 45 seconds in, didn't it?
I can't remember.
Which is about the average length of good.
Oh dear. Well, unfortunately, Kirby goaded me into it by saying about never having heard any Kylie's songs. So unfortunately, that was always going to be the case.
Wait, where did he post it?
Oh, gold. Never mind.
Master keeps interrupting you. Why? Where?
On the 20 megabyte feed.
Oh, I missed it.
Oh, dear. Right. Partners in Crime begins with the title sequence, straight into the title sequence. We haven't had that yet in New Who, have we, Kirby?
Master, this is the last time until the end of the Tenet era that there is no pre-title sequence.
But that's clearly because it was all wrapped up last week and they were starting afresh this week. Indeed. So it didn't need a pre-title thing because it just bangs straight on into that story with lovely Donna Noble bouncing down the street. Oh, that sounded a bit dodgy.
But she was indeed bouncing down the street. It looked like she was...
I didn't just mean bouncing as in... buoyantly, there's the word I shall change it to, buoyantly bouncing, no, not buoyantly bouncing.
Anyway, so she rather looks like she's got the job to present the new series of This Is Your Life. She's carrying this red book, it's a folder actually, but it does look like she's about to meet the doctor and said, Doctor, this is your life. No, that was Eamon Andrews. It was probably a little bit before everybody else's time. Me and Ben probably remember Eamon Andrews doing it, don't we, Ben?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And then we see Donna outside a sign that says adipose, and the doctor sort of looks like he's walking in the same direction.
Of course he is.
And so basically they're sort of gaining entry into this building in their own ways, oblivious to each other, but are basically attempting to do the same thing. And we meet this... Yes?
May I cast your mind back?
No.
To the Romans, when the Doctor and Vicky were looking for Ian and Barbara.
Yeah, that was throughout the whole story, though, so this is fortunately not as long. And then we got...
Well, still, I believe this is probably a direct reference to it.
Quite possibly, or a homage to it. Then we got Sarah Lancashire in the guise of... What's her name? Something Foster, isn't
it? Miss Foster.
Miss Foster. doing... A keynote speech about the wonders of this adipose thing, which is basically a tablet that makes fat literally walk away.
It's a capsule, not a tablet.
Oh, can I? Well, that is, God's sake, the most pedantic thing you've ever said. It doesn't matter if it's blimmin' capsule tablet, it does the same job. Ben, tell him off.
But they're different things.
Oh, God.
They generally do the same thing.
Next time you go to Cardiff, you ought to go to the cinema, Odeon Cinema, and Screen 11 specifically to see this particular place where the presentation is being made.
Right, okay.
Absolutely. The fat just walks away.
He has got a point, though, Adam, because you try getting to the moon in a space tablet.
No, you would have got a bell then, but I seem to have mislaid it. What the hell? Oh, here it is. Oh, here we go. Where are we? Yeah, so they're sort of watching this speech along with a rather pretty little woman from the press, shall we say? And
master.
Oh God, where are we? 2 minutes 37 in. Yes.
Yeah, she happens to have the name of who the companion was originally going to be before Donna was going to be coming back. Penny Carter was the name that RTD was going to give the new companion.
Splendid. Anyway, so
and then, blah, blah, blah. But then he wrote this Penny Carter to be kind of the opposite of a companion, completely useless.
Thank okay, and I'm going to jump in here to say how they got Catherine Tate.
Go on, Emma. Yes, go on, Emma, Mary. Yes. Yes.
The producers were already planning for the finale, and RTD wanted all of his past companions and, you know, he wanted everybody that he's worked with to show up in the finale. So when the producers contacted Catherine Tate to find out, you know, would you be interested in showing up in the finale along with everybody else, and she said, well, yes, but I'd like to do a whole year of Doctor Who. And so that threw them for a loop, you know, so they, you know, they went back to RTD and he was more than delighted, you know, so that's how she got this. Because she and Tennant had been working together in the past on a few different projects and they got along really well. So she had such a good time in Runaway Bride that she was willing to, you know, it was her idea.
Oh, yeah, good. You can tell that they absolutely love working with each other. Their chemistry is perfect. All through the season, series.
I forgot to mention that Lillian Robbins said, you're early. And then Ian Kirk said, evening all. And then Ian Kirk said, don't mention Wolverhampton. I just did, but I think I got away with it.
Three once. Sorry, just once.
Wish I'd mentioned. I should have actually edited that one out of the... Never mind. Anyway, so there's some shots of the Doctor and Donna in the offices of Adipose doing some spying. The Doctor does some... Actually, the Doctor has a chat with this young lady who really does flirt with him in a very sort of uncomfortable way. Yes, Kirby?
All of the extras in the scene who do not speak were actually office workers in that office that came in on a Saturday night and stayed until 3 a.m.
Thank you. And of course, they.
Although I have a question. At the in the mid 2000s, did office workers have to actually be so formally dressed?
No idea. Yeah.
Every Kirby, it is one of the banes of my life. Every crappy, well, that was a very bad swear word, rubbishy job that I've ever had working in a call centre. For some reason, they make you sit there in shirt and tie when you're on the phone.
Really?
What is the blinking point of that? And the thing that really upset me more than anything else is blokes had to sit there in a shirt and tie, and the girls could wear, well, whatever the hell they wanted, quite frankly, because women get away with wearing anything in an office. They didn't have to wear, like, the equivalent shirt. They could just wear a T-shirt and trousers. It was a joke.
I'm not sure.
During the 80s and early 90s, I had to dress as a computer programmer. I was required to dress in the IBM style, but by 2000, I no longer had to. It's just business casual. And now that I'm working from home, I can wear a T-shirt.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. They, I was talking about call centres. Alicia works in a call centre, but she's been working from home since COVID kicked in, and she still works for the same call centre at home. So, no, she doesn't have to dress in that particular fashion. So the Doctor and Donna are given these pendants with what looks like... those whistles.
Gold bullet.
A capsule, yes.
Or is it a tablet?
Yeah, I'm saying it's a tablet just to wind Kirby up. Right, so they nearly bump into each other at one point when the Doctor comes out of his little cubicle and Donna walks past holding her This Is Your Life folder. Donna then goes to visit the woman that's in that BBC drama that features Stephen Merchant and that Hollywood actor who was there when Natalie Wood died. He was in Click, wasn't he? He hasn't been in a lot of stuff. Can't remember his name. I always forget his name. Never mind. So she's in this drama. She plays, you know, they're doing community service, and she's the woman that supervises their community service. So you've got that bloke that was in the Hollywood films who was there when Natalie Wood died, and Stephen Merchant, who was in The Big Bang Theory, and a few other new actors that have had the chance to work with a Hollywood star and a Big Bang Theory star in it. Anyway, this is the woman who Donna goes to see. And then the Doctor goes to see this chap, and there's a little conversation about these, how amazing these capsules are, about how much weight they've lost, etc., etc. And then the woman takes some tablets, and her stomach starts to do some weird things, and a little
Donna
weird...
Noble, murderer.
Why is she a murderer?
Because she starts playing with the capsule in the first place, which... although she's not the one who eventually kills Stacey Campbell, she alerts Miss Foster to it, and Miss Foster basically kills.
Right, okay, Kobe. Right. So in a court of law, you've just accused Donna of being a murderer. And then in the same statement, Anna, in the same statement, you've then said, but she didn't know what she was doing, and she alerted the foster woman right, into doing.
Yes.
So therefore, I declare as judge on this show that Donna Noble to be innocent of murder, and you therefore have lost the case. Just saying.
Yes. Sorry, Kirby. I think at this point we need to award costs to Donna Noble as well.
Yes.
Now I
slander.
It was the geek daughter who first pointed that out to me.
What, about her being a murderer?
Yes.
So the amount of time the Doctor has done some naughty stuff, like genociding his own race at one point during the last 50.
So, Kirby, are you saying that in order to dodge a jail sentence that this obviously carries, you're willing to put it onto your daughter?
It's her fault.
Okay, well, when the law turns up, Kirby, make sure she's ready.
Anyway, so the woman has all sorts of weird things. Anyway, eventually, after a few adipose jump out of them, this is what these weird little creatures are called. She explodes.
Creatures.
Yeah, so they are a bit silly, but I can see the marketing ideas the BBC had, you know, the little pound signs. Oh, we could make these little things and sell them to the little children.
Master,
yes.
In RTD's book, the writer's tale. He actually shows a picture of what the mill sent to him of ideas. I mean, he had this general idea of them just being blocky things of fat, and the mill sent him back three ideas, one of which is this one, which included the tooth and the ears.
Cool. So anyway, Donna sort of barges away into the bathroom just after the death of the woman who's in the thing with Stephen Merchant and that bloke from Click who was there when Matterly Wood died. And there's just one little adipose left in the window who sarcastically waves at her before jumping out. The doctor...
It wasn't sarcastic. It was just being cute.
No, it's being a bit, hey, you're not going to catch me sort of thing. Anyway, all the adipose are captured by some henchmen while the doctor sort of runs along the street with a sonic screwdriver. And Donna runs across another street looking for something or other. And the adipose creatures are taken back. The doctor runs with his gadget and...
is there so much
does it go ping?
No. And eventually...
Robert Wagner.
No, that was her husband. The bloke that was with Natalie Wood and Robert Wagner. Christopher Walken, indeed. That's the chap. Yes, he was in the film, the current series on BBC, where Stephen Merchant and a few other people are doing community service. And the woman who exploded was the supervisor in it. And Christopher Walken was in that. And he was also in one of my favourite films, Click. I'm sorry if Kirby and Mary haven't heard of Christopher Walken. Google him. He's done a few Hollywood
stuff. I know
stuff.
Who he is.
Yeah, we know who Christopher Walken is.
He was the person who was there when Natalie Wood died.
Yeah, he was there when Natalie Wood died. Because it was the reason why they didn't... This is Robert Wagner's words. The reason why they didn't notice that Natalie Wood had got off the boat is because... Christopher Walken was poking his nose into business that didn't concern him, and they were having a bit of a row. And when the row fizzled out, Wagner went down to see Natalie, who wasn't there, and the boat wasn't there. And the next thing they knew, she had washed up dead.
Wasn't there something to do with the captain as well?
I don't know. But it was a very moving documentary that was created by their daughter. Robert Wagner's stepdaughter and Natalie Wood's
daughter.
Welcome
to the 20 megabyte Christopher Walken podcast.
I recommend it. There's the Natalie Wood story that was actually devised by her children. So, meanwhile, Donna goes home and has a very boring conversation with her mother because she's drinking a cup of tea while her mother's faffing around the kitchen. So she decides to go up and
master.
See. What?
That's a brilliant scene, the way that it's edited.
Yeah, the scene's good. The conversation is boring.
Yeah, it is a really good scene, yeah.
So she gets bored of that and goes up. Where's Gramps? Goes up to see the legend that is Bernard Cribbins.
There he is.
Up in his little hilltop allotment.
Now, I assume it's
telescope.
Not necessary to mention that this was refilmed.
Well, because it would have been her dad to start with, wouldn't it?
Yes.
They filmed the whole thing.
Wow.
But then he had the audacity of dying.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think I've seen the original scene. I think they put it up somewhere.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's an extra or something on YouTube.
It's an extra on the DVD. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right. So. What we're coming through here, Lillian Robin says, I'm a customer service representative. When I'm in the office, I don't have to dress up. But I do. Why am I not surprised at that one? Nice one, Lily. Oh, dear. Well, don't we love Lillian? All right, they've got another one. He should be so lucky, 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 because he says, "In the and the fat just walks away. I wish Kylie... Kylie had walked away from the last week's episode. Not the Doctor Who episode, just the way too much of the music on the podcast. I can only play 6 seconds, Tim. Songs. Terry Miles says, did you mean Bob Wagner? Well, no, I actually meant Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
He was there when Natalie Wood died.
Yeah. Neil James says...
Kirby, what happened?
Oh.
was there was
Neil James says, sorry guys, third show in a row and I haven't done proper feedback. Oh dear. This is due to my overwhelming work schedule.
Does that get one or two red ticks in red crosses in the box, Adam?
Look, if he wants to plug one of Rhys Barton's books, why doesn't he just say this excuse comes from book one or whatever? Just give it a bit of a disclaimer. Not because I don't care. I adore your podcast. We can get ointment for that, by the way, Neil. And you make me laugh out loud every week without fail.
You can get better podcasts.
There's no need for that, Ben. Love to you all. I'm sure you don't include Ben in that particular statement. Right then. So I can go back to the episode. Granddad is watching his Venus. I think he's talking because I said something about That's Venus right. being the only planet named after a woman.
That's right.
Mm.
Master?
Yes?
In his book, RTD mentions that he wrote all this stuff about Venus, and then he took it out of the script because he calculated that when this episode was going to be broadcast, for some reason, he wanted Venus to actually be seen at the same time. And then he realized it was a good line, so he put it back in.
Of course it was a good line. Oh, is that it? Thank you for making that brief for a change, Kirby. Brilliant. There it is. Right. Where did I get to? Oh, yeah. So there's more stuff coming through. Neil James says, this story is always fun, and I'm very attached to the villainess. 3 out of 5. Put that in the wrong place, you're going to upset Kirby. And then he says, Ben is definitely included.
Oh, bless you and all that's sailing you.
Ben didn't hear it, so I'll play it again. Right then. I was on Doctor Who, wasn't I? So she has a conversation with a lovely granddad who talks about some of the people aren't with them anymore, etc., etc. The Doctor, meanwhile, goes back to the TARDIS and sort of sticks his hands in his pockets and wonders for a bit.
Yeah, I like that because he starts talking to his companion and then realizes that the companion, there
he's
is no companion.
There, which is good.
It's but how long has he been doing that for?
Exactly. Well, since the last episode.
I didn't get the feeling he was talking...
95 of our years.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get the impression that he thought somebody was there. I thought he was just talking to himself.
I got the impression that he thought he was talking to someone who wasn't there. You know what I mean? He was just
talking to
saying
the TARDIS.
It out loud because he's used to talking out loud to his companion. And it was obviously done for a TV effect of going, oh, he's all by himself.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway.
Master?
You said anyway. That means carry on, Adam.
Master,
then you mastered him immediately.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that Donna just takes the car pretty much without asking, but the car that she takes from the front of the house has a number plate, YD55VHG, but the car that is in the alley is LN54VKR. So she swapped the number plates at some point.
Of course she did. She had to because she got a ticket. So she had to swap the plates.
Anyway, she parks the car. Oh, sorry.
Is that pedantic enough for you?
Shut up. Anyway, she parks the car in this alleyway and runs off just as the TARDIS arrives. Heads in through the sort of, what they call those rotational doors?
Rotational doors.
Are they? While the Doctor makes her more
revolving
sort of...
revolving door here.
A revolving door. While the Doctor goes into the concourse at Millennium Stadium and finds a different...
far away.
The different route into the... into the building. Donna goes and hides in a toilet while the
Master,
Doctor... Yes?
That wasn't a real toilet.
The toilet there, for some reason, they made a mistake. There's a sign on the wall in that toilet, which implies that this toilet is in the wine bar from later in the episode. It's because it says something like, welcome to the whatever the name of the wine bar is. Mm. So I guess it's close to Oedipus.
God. Oh, where do we get up to? So she goes and hides in the toilet. And then...
Your Ross's wine bar. I just saw it.
Whatever. And then Foster turns up with his her henchman. And fine, and starts trying to open up all the doors. Of course, Donna's hiding one of those, but she actually finds our little journalist friend.
Well, the thing that adds to me is that they've been in there for at least 8 hours, and yeah. One of them would have made a movement of some kind that would signal that they were there, so that Donna would not be so surprised that she thought she was alone.
Uh-huh.
Plus, the director had been told not to make this mistake. He made it anyway. He sticks them in cubicles right next to each other where they would have obviously been able to hear each other.
Mm-hmm. Well,
RTD and the other producer had told the director, don't do that.
Anyway.
I hope they fired him.
If you've watched Emmerdale, you'll find that there was a character in Emmerdale who it was a bit of a killer. They call people that murder lots of people.
A bit of a killer.
Serial killer, right? She had a sister handcuffed to a bed for about a week, yet her sister's clothes were in pristine condition, having not been allowed to leave the bed for any defecation reasons. It's incredible.
Maybe she was taking tablets from adipose.
Yeah, she was given some sort of thing to make her sleepy and kill her slowly. But surely the amount of fewer fluid, she would have had a wee wee at some point.
You'd think.
Maybe she moved off the bed for that.
The doctor, meanwhile, goes up a sort of lift on the outside of the building, which is for cleaning the
window.
I'll be quiet. And is able to watch the unfolding interview, because this is where Foster tells the journalist all she wants to know, because she's going to kill her. And this is leads up to that.
In the good old villain fashion.
Yeah.
I'll tell you everything I need to know, then I'll kill you. There's no way I'll have escaped.
So the doctor uses a stethoscope, which is a doctor with a stethoscope, very useful, and listens in to the conversation. This is that wonderful scene where the doctor and Donna meet each other through the windows.
It's
and
do
the
you!
And then
what makes it the funniest is when you pan away and they've been being watched all that time.
Yes.
You
know, am I interrupting something?
Great, but the fact that they've been being watched makes it that much funnier.
And then
a very big laugh from me this afternoon when I was watching it.
Bit of a chase sequence ensues, and the Doctor and Donna meet each other properly. Pardon?
Run!
Yeah, run. Mimed run. And, of course, this ends up with them on the outside, on the roof of the building initially, and then they're going to go down this lift thing. Of course, they get caught by Foster, and there's a bit of an incident because she's got a sonic pen and is able to override the Doctor's sonics. No, for God's sake. What?
during the commentary, RTD pointed out to the director another mistake the director made, and that is Miss Foster cuts one of the cables, but when you see the lift on the outside, it's the other cable which is first cut. And maybe that's not all that serious, but then when you go back up to the roof, you can see her actually march around from the side, which is not cut, and it's very obvious once you see it.
I wonder if it's the same director who directed an episode of Coronation Street last week, where Gail was having a very long, boring conversation with her son. I think it was her son, probably was.
Of course, it was boring. It was Coronation Street.
She spent the whole scene drying this mug up. Now, even I can dry a mug up in a couple of seconds. She's there doing the whole scene. It's about a 3-minute scene drying this mug up. But during the scene, the mug was on the surface.
What you don't get, Adam, is that water is very, very wet in Manchester.
Yeah, but 1 minute she's drying it up, and they cut to the sun talk, and they cut back to her, and the mug is on the side. And then they cut back to the sun, and it's back in her hands being cleaned, and then suddenly it's back on the side. So it was quite... They sort of drew attention to it, so it was easy to spot the continuity issues.
That's why I can't watch it. Just for that, I can't stand the mugs being in the wrong hands.
It's not a very good program, is it, Ben? It used to be good in the 70s when it was funny. Anyway, so there's a big scene, and there's obviously Donna ends up hanging from a rope. the doctor says,
"I'll
show you. All right, whatever. I'll show you."
It was a piece of metal from the window cleaning cart that had snapped off as as the thingy had broken. She's grabbed onto it, and it was like a T thingy. So nice and easy for her to hang onto, not a problem. Indeed. I guess she could probably do it for about 7 or 8 minutes without a problem.
Anyway, the Dr. Sonic...
When the doctor's holding on to the actual cable, how come he doesn't get grease all over his hands?
I don't know. It's a science fiction fantasy TV program. Anyway, the Dr. Sonics the pen out of Foster's hand and... eventually rescues Donna after leaving.
And does a fantastic catch of said sonic device.
Yes, it was.
I don't know if anyone, I very much doubt anyone was watching the Big Bash match earlier between the Melbourne the Heat today?
That was the reason why.
But there was a fantastic over the head catch by Glenn Maxwell. Just phenomenal.
Does it not mention it? Is he an Australian cricketer by any chance?
Yes.
Well, there you go then, isn't it?
Yes. And he's allowed to play because he's double vaccinated.
But in regards to the catch you're talking about in Doctor Who, the Doctor is a renowned cricket player. He once even wore a cricket costume when he was a bit younger.
And Master, he catches that sonic device and he puts it in his mouth. But then when he goes to the window, it's still in his mouth. But it's facing the other direction.
You're really on a mission today, aren't you?
Jeez.
Oh, God. Anyway. So they nearly get shot, but the Doctor puts the two sonic devices together, which nearly deafens everybody, and they're able to get away and recapture the journalist woman.
Anyone knows what that sounds like.
Yes. And she's got a plan to speed up her efforts and get about a million people, is it, all fatted up and so on.
1 million people.
Yes. And, you know, she's successful in turn left.
Yeah. So basically she's going to make some little baby adipose just in the nick of time. So Donna's mum, meanwhile, is in a restaurant with a lady who's been taking it and saying how wonderful these...
It's a wine bar.
Does it bloody matter?
It says wine bar.
I don't care. Jeez.
I think Kirby ate his Wheaties this morning.
Yeah, she bloody well did.
I think he ate something.
So all these adipose start running through the street, awaiting something, while the doctor says, "I can't do it. I can't stop it. Oh, I need another one of these gadgets," which just happens to be wound around Donna's neck, and she
it's in her pocket.
Oh, for God's sake!
Oh, Kirby, that's right. Really
fishy. You're heading for trouble, Bartlett Sloan, I'm telling you.
I'm looking at the scene right now. She has a different necklace around her neck, and she pulls it out of her pocket.
I don't give a tinker's cuss.
I think you need to turn the commentary over to Kirby before you kill him.
Oh, geez. Anyway,
I'm only good for pedantic things.
No. So she rather gleefully.
No one had ever noticed.
She rather gleefully hands over the pendant, just in the in the nick of time. So the doctor shuts everything down, but they're not early enough to stop some adipose being created. And this weird spaceship then appears. It was really like a
100,000, I think you'll find it was.
That's right. But this weird spaceship, which reminded me of the. Close Encounters spaceship, especially weird noise.
Absolutely, isn't it?
Very strange noises coming from it.
I wonder if there's a little R2-D2 on the bottom.
Pardon?
I wonder if there's a little R2-D2 on the bottom of it. Like, you can see very clearly, next time you watch Close Encounters, you can see an upside-down R2-D2.
I mean, the other thing with that spaceship is it did have a very long, like, stemmy bit at the bottom, didn't it? Which, I mean, it's just not conducive for flight. I mean, you're going to have to bring yourself up.
You're an expert in spaceships?
When it comes to knowing that you've got to be above the building to not crash into it, I'm all right on that. You know, my point being, they could be 50 foot lower if they didn't have that big spike on it.
So anyway, Foster then welcomes the adipose to their back to their spaceship and the parents, etc., etc. The Doctor and Donna go up to the roof. And the Doctor says to Foster, "I better come over and join us now because they're done with you."
Attraction team.
And then she goes, "Ah!"
Yeah, I love it. It's a Roadrunner type. Wile E. Coyote. Yeah.
I was thinking of Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, when she was hanging in midair and just... And then we come to the scene at the end where the Doctor doesn't seem too convinced about the idea that Donna's sort of rather forcing herself into the TARDIS. She's already got her bags packed and her hat box and everything. And, of course, come up to that scene where he says, well, I just want a mate, of which Ben talked about earlier, which is absolute genius, even in the comedy aspect. As Donna as Donna heads back to sort of put her keys in a safe place, the bin, she comes up some random stranger. Oh, excuse me, if so and so comes up, just tell her. How do you know that that woman's going to be there long enough to tell another woman she doesn't know that there's a set of car keys in the bin?
She wanders off back into in space or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, she doesn't know who she is, does she? But would you do that? If I was, a pair of khaki, if I got myself a free car then. And of course,
if it was Benny Piper, I would.
Yeah. And who turns around? My old mate, Bill, who likes to have a little bit of gap between yourself when you're having your picture taken with her.
yeah.
Which, just you.
but what, that was when I watched that. I'm pretty sure we didn't know that was going to happen.
We didn't.
It was so exciting.
Yes, and that was made it. This is when they don't... Spoilers are rubbish. This shows why spoilers are rubbish. That we got this scene with William Piper walking away from the camera. What the hell's going on? And then disappearing mysteriously into thin air.
Now, the thing is, Master, we did... Unfortunately, they did have a leak that Billy Piper was going to be in the show because she's in the trailer. But this was a complete surprise.
Yes. Anyway, because we expected to be later on in the series, but so we didn't expect it to be a sort of continuing theme of which she was occasionally in this series.
It was so successful that RTD added a third surprise showing of her that was not originally planned.
Okay, good. We'll find out that later, though, Kirby, won't we?
Yes.
Obviously, Donna walks into the TARDIS and the Doctor tries the "I know it's bigger on the inside" thing. Of course, he forgets that. Wasn't Donna already been in the TARDIS?
Yes.
I know. He starts a speech and she cuts him off. I love it.
Yeah. And then we cut back to the hilltop where... the TARDIS flies across because it was early in the story where... Donna asked her granddad to keep a lookout for a blue box. And of course, there it is.
See a little blue box. Just shout my name and keep on shouting.
And his reaction's great when you see her dangling out the door and the Doctor in the background. He recognises the Doctor, obviously. And it's sort of like a little boy jumping around. It's just wonderful. And that's the
end. It's a wonderful scene.
It is. There's lots of wonderful scenes in this story. And that is Partners in Crime. Of course, the preview for the next episode is extremely exciting as well. But we'll talk about that next time. Right then, Partners in Crime. Despite Kirby knocking it left, right and centre, it's an absolutely thrilling, funny, brilliant episode of Doctor Who. With a couple of actors at their finest rapport levels. Yes, I'd think the Dadapos are a little bit shit, but I also think that it didn't really matter because it wasn't really about the Dadapos. It was about the rapport between Tennant and Tate. We've got Sarah Lancashire, one of the UK's best actresses, in it as well, playing a very sort of comedy, sort of panto villain sort of thing. But it is new Who gold, this story, and it set us off for Series 4, which is one of the best Doctor Who series of all time, in a brilliant way. So, I hold this in a very fine affection, I think, is all I can say. Yes, it's not perfect, but it is really good. What did you think of it, Ben? What's happened to my mouth tonight?
It was a strange quirk of fate today that enabled me to watch this episode about 3.5 hours ago, due to the fact that my visiting weekend daughter, her younger brother, developed COVID. I had her home quicker than you could believe. So I managed to get time because the cricket had finished and because the snooker finished early this afternoon to actually watch the entire episode. And it's one of those episodes where I thought to myself, I can watch the brilliant episode. You know, it was great. And sat through it and loved it as much as I did the first time. Yeah. As we said, there's some absolute classic scenes in this. The Tennant and Tate miming to each other through the windows. And the brilliant thing about that scene is it's silent.
Yeah.
Absolute. But you know what? You can hear what they're saying.
Yeah, two performers at the height of their game.
It's TV genius from Russell T. Davis, that scene.
And performed perfectly by the actors.
I mean, if you wanted to show someone who didn't know anything about Doctor Who a really good scene of what Doctor Who's not about but is very funny, that would be the one to show them.
Yes.
The scene at the end with old Bernard Cribbins up on the hill is just wonderful. The bit that you slagged off a little bit, the bit with Donna sitting in the kitchen with her mum, I thought that was a brilliant scene.
It was brilliantly directed. I agree. It was.
It just
showed the mundaneness she was suffering, and she needed some excitement in her life. Hence, she wanted to be in the TARDIS.
And then she went up on the hill, and what was going to be my quote this afternoon was what Bernard Cribbin said, which was, is she nagging again? Which is every bloke, no, seriously, it's just, the bit with Billy Piper was just so out of the blue, and I remember watching it first time and just kind of like inhaling for about 4.5 minutes, until all the plants had died in the room because of the lack of oxygen. It was just one of those moments. It was just, oh my God. So an absolutely tip top 9.75 out of 10 episode. I'm not a massive Sally Lindsay fan.
Sarah Lancashire, you mean?
Not that bothered. The adipose themselves, stupid little things, but as you said, they weren't the important things. This was a relationship building episode between the Doctor and Donna, and it absolutely brilliant stuff.
And the music when Billy Piper's Rose was revealed, that was so good.
You get Rose's theme again, and it is just so haunting, and it takes you back to that beach at Bad Wolf Bay.
It does,
where they said goodbye to each other, and it's just brilliant. Yeah, so great music in this one. Actually, good point, Adam. Good point.
All right then, Kirby, what did you think? Well, obviously, you won't like it very much.
I grab one of my stuffed adiposes off the shelf because you guys are insulting my wonderful adiposes. I love them.
Sorry, he's going to leave you at 1 o'clock, Kirby.
they're absolutely wonderful, wonderfully designed, so cute. You guys stop insulting adiposes. Anyway, I just love this story. I mean, just everything about it. The as I already said, Catherine Tate and David Tennant just are wonderful together. The humor is great. It's one of RTD's best, showing how great a writer he is. I miss RTD.
It's all right. I've got a funny feeling.
I wonder if someone can ever convince him to ever write again.
Kirby, for you, I will send him a tweet.
Okay.
If we can get him back involved or something.
So many classic scenes, so many classic things. I was not complaining about it. I was pointing out silly little things that I like things like that.
You call them silly little things, Kirk. We call them massive pedantism.
Yes.
But we love you for it.
No, speak for yourself, Ben.
No, you love him for it too. And some of them are almost reasonably interesting. I jest, Kirby.
I did put another one in the comments on Facebook, but I just remembered another one that we didn't mention, and that is the times we see the two cabs that got Atmos stickers in the
on the screen.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just love it. Absolutely love it.
That's splendid. I have actually forgotten what I was going to say now because Ben made me laugh, but I might remember after Mary's ideas about it.
Mary.
Let's
Ooh, ouch.
Oh my God, I don't know how to follow that. I'm going to let everything happen because as Ben says, this is Doctor Who gold.
I said that actually. Thank you, Mary.
Most of the sea. Oh, you said it. All right, then.
No, I'm claiming that one.
No, I said it.
Thanks, Mary.
Then what Adam said. This is Doctor Who gold, and one might think that okay, this can't be topped, but we've got some real gems this coming season that I think will at least match it. So yeah, that's my thoughts.
Can I, if you're done, can I just captain's log addition? I think what was great about this as well was the fact that especially people in Britain obviously knew Catherine Tate from the Catherine Tate Show, which had been on BBC One for a couple of good few years, isn't it? Before
I think it was still on after the Christmas special,
obviously the year before this.
Yes.
And so again, it was knowing the incoming companion as a person, and several of her characters as well. You know, we'd seen her as characters of Nan and the teenager, Lauren, the teenager, and those catchphrases, they were part of British culture at that time. So then to sign her up for Doctor Who on her wish, apparently, is just fantastic. And there was a big wait, a lot of anticipation, I think, to see this series.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to see what Donna was going to do. And Catherine Tate did not disappoint.
Well, so it's, what it does for me, Ben, is
she's just, she makes this
She
series.
Does. But I seem to remember people moaning about, oh, no, not Catherine Tate.
Because I remember.
And the same when Billy Piper was cast. Same when Free Benjamin was cast. Just let them get on with the job.
The difference being, though, because I think what the massive difference there, mate, is that Freema wasn't known.
Mm.
She was a, she was.
Yeah, but they slagged her off for her performances in Crossroads, I seem to remember.
But she wasn't known to the extent of Billy Piper, who had been married to the biggest DJ in Britain for a couple of years.
At a very young age, too.
The other way round. Mm. So, exactly. She was well known. Catherine Tate, really well known. Free Regiment, not well known to anyone, really, who hadn't seen her in whatever she did before, which you've just said, Crossroads, Coronation Street?
Yeah, I think it's Crossroads,
So, the point being that we'd waited for Catherine Tate. She didn't disappoint, and this was the first of a fantastic series of episodes from her. And anticipation was worth it, and she was brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah. Robert Vince Jr. says hi everyone, and then
hi Robert.
An okay story, but they are so cute. And then I've seen them in stores, never bought one. I think he's talking about little Kirby 5-inch action figures.
Well, it's either that or Robert's Book of Excuses.
No, that's Reese's Book of Excuses.
I'm sorry, Reese's Book of Excuses. Robert's going to write a Book of Excuses as well, but it's going to be...
Don't forget, Robert has...
some feedback, comment, yes.
Yeah, feedback as well.
Yes, good. Right then, talking of feedback, Kirby, well segued.
Oh, one of those balancing,
You've actually got it ready, have you?
Anyway, okay.
I mean, I hate to put you up on production, but normally there's a sound effect there.
Is there?
Yeah, you normally go Kirby's feedback and then play the annoying feedback sound.
Okay, here we go.
No, you don't have to, because it's better without it.
There we go.
Yes, that's the annoying feedback sound. Sound of a cuckoo clock.
I usually go, woo! Okay, so Chris Miller says, those cute little fellers copied shamelessly in Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet either.
But I intend to.
Robert Wentz Jr. has an animated gif of a little cute thing running in circles. Says, okay, so cute.
Aw.
He also says, by the way, enjoyed your Kylie music clip.
Hey!
Last week, Kirby Bartlett Sloan, I knew who she was. I listened to her music in the past. I believe she had a song called Sex.
Did she? Ben?
Did she? I don't know.
Madonna did.
I haven't got that one, but...
Madonna had that very raunchy book.
Just for liking it, Robert.
What sex is, does she? She's so innocent and pure.
Oh, yeah, it's true, Ben. Absolutely.
He also posted a picture of Donna looking through the window saying one of the best parts of Partners in Crime. And then he gives us his his review.
Yep.
Partners in Crime was a good reintroduction of Donna to be the new companion to the Doctor. All I want is a mate, Donna. You're not mating with me, Sunshine. Comic timing works, but the best part is the mime part of the episode. This is pretty much a romp and a reunion of the two. Also, how are we supposed to miss Rose if she pops up? Feels like
a turn left. Miss Rose.
Feels like a turn left to me. Above average story, 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, it's quite five lowly five. Marked there, Robert. But there you go.
Mr. M says, no audio feedback again today. I'm too busy. It's not like the 1980s. No one's unemployed these days except you. Partners in Crime by Russell T. Davies, Esquire. This is fun. The constant, contrived, coincidental, concurring circumstances containing both the Doctor and Donna are hilarious. I like the way these are paid off with a very slight explanation at the end of the series. Donna was good in her first episode, but she's even better here. David Tennant is clearly having a ball playing against her as well. They have the best chemistry of any Doctor companion pairing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well
it's apart from
comedic, that's why.
Apart from Tom Baker and Sarah Jane.
Yeah, I was about to say Sarah J. Speaking of Sarah, as he continues, Sarah
Lancashire.
How is that?
Lancashire? Yes.
Lancashire.
Don't take any notice of him.
Is great as Miss Foster, though the sonic pin is a bit much. The Adipose are one of the best and definitely cutest new series creations, though the CGI on them does look pretty bad now. No, it doesn't. It's something to do with the way the light reflects off of them. I think. I love the bloody great big spaceship as well. Sylvia's horribly good. Bernard Cribbin steals every scene he's in.
Yeah, he does.
The plot is pretty paper thin and light. The window cleaner cradle sequence is as contrived as that sentence I wrote earlier with all the C's. But it's good, frothy, frilly, fun, fitting for a series out there.
Congratulations on alliteration skills.
Yes.
Rose turning up was great. On first watch, I clocked it was Billie Piper, but was disappointed that she didn't do much once we had seen her. It does seem a bit pointless in retrospect. Overall, this is a solid 8 out of 10. Next, you forgot to set your alarm clock. It's Volcano Day!
Now, I have to interrupt you there, because knowing that Mr. M was an early contributor to the show in between the gaps, and when he was Alicia's number one fan. Yes. And bear in mind, Alicia was only on the podcast for a couple of years. Mr. M's wife doesn't mind me mentioning that. But what we used to like to do in the early days was criticise and make jokes out of his misspellings and mistypes or typos on his on his feedback, and deliberately read them out exactly as they were, and then he moved on to doing audio. But yeah, thanks, Mr. M. Sorry, yeah, Kirby,
He still has occasional mistypes.
But yeah, but they're not funny.
They're not funny. they just happen to be. I see myself doing them too.
Yes.
And this is not Ian's script that I'm reading. It's a comment.
Yes.
Wilf is keen to find aliens with his telescope, but is looking the wrong way when the big spaceship.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Well done, Ian.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I'm skipping that. I have a little bit of a pedantic thing that is in the credits. It's the character who Donna kills is Stacey Campbell.
Yeah.
And she's clearly on the screen at one point. It's labeled Stacey Campbell, but in the credits, she's listed as Stacey Harris.
Right, okay.
And Lillian
is married between the death scene and the credits.
Right, and Lillian has posted a picture of her two stuffed adipose.
Oh, Lillian. Thank you. Right, so you might as well can continue with Robert's I think Debbie's written something as well, actually, didn't she? But
did she?
I think so. Maybe I may have wrong.
Okay. Robert says, I'm going to have to miss tonight. I'm far too tired lately. To Partners in Crime, yay, Donna's back. I love Donna and the David Tennant Doctor together. It's also so refreshing to have a companion again who's not infatuated with the Doctor. And Donna is not annoying. She's not written annoyingly or played annoyingly. absolutely love the scene with the windows when they're trying to communicate. It's still so very funny. While the plot is fairly crap, it's not nearly as annoying as some of the rubbish we're dealt with these days. Yes, completely agree, Robert. The Oedipus are so cute, though. This series is quite a good series, so I look forward to the rest.
Yes. Debbie says...
Can I jump in?
Don't jump too hard. You might damage
I'd like to make a prediction, if I could. Yeah. When I get Alan T. Butcher's feedback, or whoever does it this week, I'm presuming it's me, because, you know...
That's if it arrives.
It's you.
Hasn't arrived yet.
You know, at the end where he says next up, and then he does a comedic go at the next episode.
Mm. Does he?
Yes. Do you jump in? Can I predict that he's going to write the two doctors or something around that?
You can, but he hasn't actually sent in his feedback yet, so that might fall flat on his head. Debbie Melrose says, I can't add much to that. Great reintroduction of Doctor and their dynamic is fantastic. So that's what... commiserations to Debbie for one of the 20 megabyte pussycats has passed away. And that is why Debbie's not on the show this week.
I wondered where our Debs was. Oh, Deb, sorry to hear that. I'm not an animal lover, but, you know, cats are cats. And if they were yours, then they probably meant something to you.
Absolutely.
And at times like this, we need to remember that people are animals and animals are people. And they come together and join as one, but only if you're a dirty boy.
Thanks, Ben. Right then.
Well, Gillian 20 megabytes, Anthony.
Oh, for God's sake, Andy.
That's really quiet, mate.
Down, so I'm just boosting it up. So that should be
thank
better
you.
Now, Dave. You've probably all gone deaf because you've probably turned the volume up.
No, I didn't.
Sorry about that. That's the auto setting. However, Tommy Ironing, you shall no doubt keep Herbie
back
happy.
Off the bike
and Stormageddon, I watched Partners in Crime. Now, Stormageddon knows the adipose. He's got a couple of adipose key rings. Well, to be strictly true, Dawn and I had a couple of adipose key rings, which were given a Doctor Who theme party. But of course, as you all know, because you've got small children, the concept of ownership is very fluid, and they're sort of now his. They seem to live in his bedroom, but that's life. But he recognised me, enjoyed them. He didn't really follow the story much. He sort of dipped in and out as he's playing these new Ben 10 figures. My God, nice, moved on from Thomas the Tank into Nicole Kicker, isn't it? However, he did enjoy it, and I did thoroughly enjoy it. It's a pretty silly, sort of made for laughs, bit of comedy, some serious stuff in there. I mean, the adipose themselves were... Well, I'm not sure they've become mass market toys, but I think they're probably done with an aim at that. The concept was good of an alien species having a nursery planet. I don't know who designed them, whether they're actually deliberately designed to be that, to be a bit of a laugh, but so be it. I think the main focus, though, was the Doctor and Donna getting back together. Some great comedy moments at the beginning where they kept missing each other. And being in the same room, being in the same road, and just not quite seeing each other. And then when they finally do see, they're doing the gesturing to the window, and then suddenly realise that, they're being watched. And then they do get together. And the end, when Donna persuades the Doctor to take her with him, and she's got, she's really well prepared. She's got the stuff in the back of the car. I mean, I don't know how long that's been in the car for. You know, I reckon it's going to be several months at the very least. And you think her mother would say, well, hang on a minute, why is all this stuff in the car? I can't get the shopping in. You know, it must be a bit inconvenient. So nobody's commented about that. But presumably the Doctor did take it all in, because when when Donna comes back, presumably everything's in the TARDIS, ready stowed away. Yeah, women don't travel light. I think, let's not go there. However, I think it's... Their relationship is good, because it's one where you don't... I mean, she's made it quite clear, I don't want you to mate with me, but I think it's quite clear there's going to be no romantic tension here as there was with Rose and with Martha. These are going to be strictly somebody who wants to travel, wants to see the universe for the sake of seeing the universe, which is quite refreshing. And there's going to be no hanky-panky. You're a long streak of... Yeah, I think we all knew what was meant to say, but obviously you can't really say that at prime time on Saturday night as it was then. But I think it's the relationship is good. You can see that she's someone who's not going to take any crap from him. She's going to give as good as she gets. And you know, she's not the bimbo that perhaps she was made out to be, certainly when she had her first story. She's quite intelligent, quite a forthright, and quite a strong woman. And I think that's why his companion, you know, everyone thought, oh, God, she's a comedian, you know, what the hell is she doing? But actually, you know, we've seen she can act, and she turned into a very, very strong companion. The Doctor, again, didn't quite do the menacing this time, because I think he's probably trying not too much time to laugh. But having an alien opponent with another sort of, some sort of sonic device, was quite good. You know, we never found out much about her. You know, originally probably thinking, is she another she a time lady? Well, if she isn't, she's something else. Not quite watching her plummet to her death was yeah, just desserts. But I think it's one of those moments where not seeing what happens works. Though you see the aftermath with the ambulance picking her up and the Doctor dumps her sonic device into a bin. That was quite good. But the elephant in the room really is Rose, if that's, yes, I don't mean she's an elephant, but Zach actually recognised her and said, oh, look, it's her again, and then she just disappeared, and nothing's made of it. So I think the seed was definitely sown. I've forgotten about that piece, to take it forward. So all in all, this is an enjoyable episode. It's never going to be a classic, because it just was, with the Oedipus, just a bit too silly. I think it was the episode, the whole point of it was simply to set up Doctor and the Donna, Doctor and the Donna, even though I mean, the Doctor and Donna even, getting back together. And from that point of view, it worked very well. It started to build a relationship. And, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So until next time, be soon.
Well, thank you, Andy. Kirby disagrees with you. And why?
I like the Oedipus.
Well, there we are. Well, I think that goes go down in the record books as your most abbreviated answer, shall we say. Right.
You know, I have to ask the question that after seeing how successful this pairing was of a doctor and a companion who is not romantically involved with the Doctor, and then they managed to move on to the 11th Doctor and Amy Pond, which was, again, another good pairing of... Yes. A companion and a doctor that were not in love with each other. Why did the I don't know, the showrunners, the writers, whoever it is we have to blame, why do they then move on into doctors and companions that are in love with each other?
No idea. I just,
because it always fails, you know, but these pairings were so successful.
Yeah.
Why didn't they take their cue from that?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a problem with the companions having infatuations with the Doctor. I don't like it being reciprocated in the same way.
Yeah.
Right then. So, Mary, you have some blurb that I sent you via the messaging service.
By the Miles, yes. Okay. And they write, Donna Noble is back, and she has turned into a Sarah Jane Smith copy, doing the Doctor's work while he's off-planet chasing Astrid on the Titanic. This was a great little tale about people losing weight. Quotes, the fat just walks away. And of course, little pieces of merchandise are being made. How much money did the BBC make out of those little Oedipus dolls? When this came out, everybody wanted one. Linda has one. It was great to see Wilf again. He must have retired from the police, in parentheses. See the film Dalek's Invasion,
yes.
2150 AD. Donna's mom is very annoying. No wonder Wilf spends his evenings up the
allotment.
Yeah. I like the sound effect when the taxi flattened a couple of the Oedipus. Oh, yeah, that was. That's the moment, yeah. Miss Foster fell down. Did they ever untie that poor reporter, Penny? She must have passed quite a few police to get out of the building.
Yeah.
She looked silly when she waddled away with the chair tied to her.
Yes.
No mention of Neris this time. What is that, Neris? N-E-R-Y-S.
Neris. That's Donna's best friend. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what?
Donna's best friend.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm sure that girl at the end looked like Rose Tyler. Up next, companion and doctor in waiting. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Well done, Linda and Terry Miles.
Yes, very nice. Thank you.
Right, so we've also got this.
Hello, 20 Magbat Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
In the Last of the Time Lords story, during the Tocotherne lockdown, Prime Minister was at a gathering where there was music and dancing, but he thought it was a work event. With the benefit of hindsight, I think his wife was right to shoot him. Four. Partners in Crime by Russell T. Davies. Donna's back. Front and side.
Hey!
While Doctor was in the cupboard, rewiring the control mechanism, Donna says that after her adventure with him, her life just went back to the way it was, foreshadowing her eventual exit.
Yeah.
When all the adipos are walking down the street, none of the bystanders are filming it with mobile phones. That's not very realistic. Well, this is a fantasy science fiction TV show.
Nearly right.
Did the Doctor kill the two security guards when he electrocuted them? The Doctor will later say he does not do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rose again? How can he get over her if she just won't stay away? Can aliens really help you lose weight? Fat chance. Weapon on.
Brilliant as ever.
Well, you know, just about a year and a half later, we actually do see bystanders filming the alien in the sky in the 11th hour.
And also, the Doctor didn't kill the security guards, because as he electrocuted them, he said that should stop them for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very also, good. They start shaking from the electricity about half a second before we see the electricity.
Oh, hang on, I nearly played a jingle I didn't want to play then. Anyway, I do keep on neglecting to play a piece of music that is specifically for Ben. So where he's just about to read a piece of feedback he really did want to read out, we're going to play it now. More than 6 seconds, but okay. I've probably played more than 6 seconds in the past. You have a certain piece of feedback.
I do. And I haven't pre-read it, so this is going to be fun.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
But the good news is I have moved up from 1.5 not amplification on my specs to 3, so I should now be able to see the words, which is great. Okay, here we go. Slim fast with a vengeance, or everything's coming up roses. Dear 20 megabiters, Partners in Crime is, of course, a closely studied exploration of exploitative dietary schemes which offer miracle results while not necessarily being of optimum effect in terms of health. The proponents of this scheme are pursuing their own gain rather than serving the interest of those in need of the good being merchandised, which is to reduce subcutaneous adipose tissue. The risks are suppressed, and the procreation of the infant adipose creatures en masse is here used to represent the classic capitalist exploration of the good in the real world. Thanks for this. I mean, it's Sunday night. It's meant to be a time for relaxing. And I'm sat here trying to munch my way through this.
I love the way you fell over the words "the risks," which was probably the two of the easier words he's actually put in.
Do you know what it is? Like, I'll be totally honest with you, right? Now, Adam, you might know, I can't remember if I told you or not, but a couple of years ago, I lost all my top teeth, and so I've got this horrible denture. And I can't speak properly since I've had the denture.
Oh.
So that's what it is. It kind of like stops me speaking sometimes. I'm trying to talk and the teeth clash together where they used to.
Can't say I've noticed, to be fair.
Because they're not mine. I kind of like have a second of going, what? Like, that's what it is. So
pulling
the
sympathy card, huh?
Yeah, that's what out of Reese Parton's Book of Excuses. One of the best ones.
Yeah, that's the first one, mate. No, not going for sympathy, Mary. I mean, it's entirely my own fault because I got into a fight and got my teeth smashed out with a metal pole, but it was... I didn't really.
Nah.
I smashed his out with a metal pole. Anyway, back to the counsellor.
Yes.
Wow.
Are you ready, by the way, Adam?
Yes.
It should be noted that whilst the magical adipose creatures have no place in Doctor Who, there is no credible hint of scientific explanation for this for their science. No. For their sentience.
Sentience, yes, that's the word for it.
Sentient or procreative method. In fact, such
disparages.
Disparages.
Yeah.
I've got the. I'm changing glasses. That's better.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
It's not. It's someone who can't read with two pairs of glasses on, Kirby.
No, I'm talking about his being bothered by that.
Oh,
right. In fact, such disparages need to familiarise, to say that was the denture, familiarise themselves both with the
aphorisms
of Arthur. Do you know, I feel like I'm in school trying to read a book and keep on saying big words that I can't get.
Do you want some flashcards?
Broadcaster, I love.
I have to get him to sell you, send you in some flashcards for his next bit of feedback, so to just help you out.
If you could. In fact, I've done that bit with the aphorisms of Arthur C. Clarke and the fact that Doctor Who is a science faction.
Nay.
There we go.
We also learn that Raquel Wolstenhume, who used to live in the Mancunian district, Weatherfield, went on to unexpected success as a foster mother, taking on the sobriquet of Miss Foster. Or Ms. Foster, and selling out the Earth in an attempt to make it a breeding ground for aliens in a move that even Curly would not be able to forgive.
I've had my picture taken with him.
Well, it's a Coronation Street reference, yes. Which obviously the Americans will be rolling around about the island. Kirby, stop laughing. I need to continue.
No, I've simply ignoring it since I have no idea.
Mate, I'm in England. I've got no idea.
Ask Mary. She's the Corrie fan.
I've never watched Coronation Street in my life. Not one episode. All in all, Partners in Crime on the Doctor Who 20 megabyte Doctor Who Doctor Who podcast, sponsored by me or someone else. I can't remember. We do sponsors later.
Will we?
Well, you should
do. Was that UK?
It was something like that, Kirby. Yeah. All in all, Partners in Crime is a slightly more involved story than the average companion introduction, since this companion is not entirely new to us. However, it is of much relief to find that the Donna we see here has already moved forward after a previous experience with the Doctor. Everything's a bloody experience these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Having a shower is an experience. No, it's not. It's a shower. The very clear chemistry of Tennant and Tate immediate enriched to humour that fits so well into Doctor Who. The narrative is somewhat resonant of this of a synthesis of the Nestorine and Guelph, already used in recent years, but bringing forward different themes. Never one to miss a trick, Davis, I think he's Russell T. Davis, yes. He's an ex-showrunner,
yes.
Managed not to disappoint by finding an unanticipated place for the wonderful and brilliant, and we all love him and wish he was our granddad's Bernard Cribbins. Yeah. I may have added a few words. Bernard Cribbins in the new setup, while Sylvia Noble provides ample motivation for why Donna would be desperate to go away with the Doctor. Donna, on the other hand, serves well to bring out another side of the Doctor, putting him slightly off stride because of her unpredictability, yet also relaxing into a more fun and light performance than from Tennant. This story is perhaps 10 minutes too short, as those extra minutes may have given the opportunity for Donna to be seen to nip home rather than being shown to both be carrying a packed suitcase in the car on the off chance she met the Doctor, and to not do something insane as to leaving the car keys in a public bin.
That's what I said.
Interestingly, with the suitcase stuff, the point was made that how long had they been in there? Well, clearly, I think we're being suggested to that they'd been in there since she'd last met the Doctor, which begs the question, has she been walking around in the same outfit, or does she have enough clothes to fill all of those suitcases and still enough at home to wear clean clothes every day? It does concern me.
I'm pretty sure Primark existed in those days.
Possibly. Next up, here we go. What did I say? Something about the two Doctors. Next up, Doctor Who and the two Doctors. That's all. There's no more.
Not what I can see. I can see. Next up, Doctor Who and the Great Roman Bake Off, or look out for the Seventh Doctor. He's around here somewhere.
You must Seventh have sent me a different version, because I only have next up the two Doctors.
Seventh Doctor.
Anyway, from Counselor Alan T.
Butcher.
Hang on. The Seventh Doctor.
Hey, Captain.
Is the Seventh Doctor in it? I know that the 12th Doctor's in it. Is the Seventh Doctor in it? No? Okay, I'll just carry on talking to myself. I'm confused.
I don't know why he said that. Maybe he made a mistake.
Unless it's got something to do with the Celebrity Bake Off. That's not even on, is it? Oh, I'm confused.
I have no idea. Maybe he can explain himself.
Yeah. He probably
will. I'm not on that one. Next up, Doctor Who and the Great Roman Bake Off.
I can understand that, because that's...
It's Bake Off because it's hot, because it's Vesuvius exploding, therefore it's quite steamy. So yes, okay, we'll give him that one.
Yep.
And it's set in Roman times, so yes. Can we have a ting for that one, please?
Oh, hang on, he's being very smart, Alec. He says the Seventh Doctor went to Pompeii in a big finish. There you go, Mary, you should have known that one.
Oh, Mary. I feel so let down. You know I don't know about anything big finish.
All right, so
you've got to bring your own master thing to that. So every time that there's anything you could add from Big Finish, then you can, you know, do your Kirby type thing, jump in, let us know. Yeah. Otherwise,
I don't expect Mary. Big Finish references on this podcast. So yeah, so it went by me.
Yes,
this is a podcast.
It's a pod jumble. Right, Robert Vench Jr. says, I've seen them in stores, never bought one. I've done that one, haven't I? Today's password is cute. Yeah, well, thank you. That's some of the time somebody noted. Thank you very much. I'm going to give him a ding for that, for noticing that I'm cute. Alan T. Butcher said, I have sent my feedback. We know we've read it, Alan. God's sake. And they said, I would spoil whether Ben is wrong about when he said, but some of you may not have seen the prevailing pattern of what Ben says.
What?
Maybe a bit of punctuation in that statement might have helped me read it out better.
I think what he's saying was Ben was right.
Yes.
I'll try that one again. And I would spoil whether Ben is wrong about what he said, but some of you may not have seen the prevailing pattern of what Ben says. It's very difficult to read that without punctuation. Anybody else would like to have a more successful attempt?
I think I get what you mean. Okay.
Robert Vench Jr. says, or talk to her mum and Donna, we'll leave the car keys in the trash bin. And then Lillian Robin says, Dr. Donna. And then Robert Vench Jr. says, a lot of people didn't like Amy going after the Doctor before the vampire episode. But Amy is in the next episode. Well, no, Karen Gillan.
Yes.
Superstar of the Marvel Universe is in the next episode. And then Alan T. Butcher said, the Seventh Doctor. I've read that one. I'm not going to read it again. Right. See if I can find the Doctor Who News Front.
The only thing I know about Marvel is that there's a stadium called that in Melbourne.
A stadium called Marvel? Are you talking about cricket stadiums again?
The Marvel Stadium. The Marvel Stadium in... Or Marvel Arena might be called, or whatever, but it's called the Marvel something, and it's the place where they play cricket.
Right. I loaded up the Doctor Who News.net page, and there's no new news. This is where I rely on Ben Shoveler to provide me with some.
What I would do, but there's my no computer...
New news?
No.
Is there any old news?
No, it's all the same as last time. We've got about the Doctor Who magazine and the Interstellar Convergence thingy. that was mentioned last time. So no Doctor Who news.
I'm just checking. Just Phil, Adam. Phil.
Well, the only thing I'll think of, I did post on the 20 megabyte page about there's a rumour that I heard. What I heard of, obviously, it's known that Danny Dyer, sorry, Cousin Danny, in my instance, is leaving EastEnders to pursue another TV show. He already does The Wall, which is a cracking game show. But somebody said that obviously what they call it when they're getting people in to do some acting to try and choose the Doctor.
Audition.
What they call that thing?
Audition.
Audition. Yes, so they were auditioning people to play the Doctor. I have a funny feeling if Danny Dyer is ever going to be involved in Doctor Who, yes, he could play the Doctor, and people moan about him being cast. He'd probably end up being really good, but he'd make a great Master. Just saying, he's very good at playing the baddie. Whether they could do the Master with a staunch Cockney accent or not, because he doesn't seem to be able to deviate. Although he did do a film once in which he had an American accent. We'll see. He's a cracking actor.
Did you see what Tim Drury? Did you see what Tim Drury also said in that thread?
Right, hang on. My thread stopped.
I have some news.
Yeah. My things just moved. Before you do, no. What are you on about? It's nothing about Tim Drury. He said something ages ago, and I read it out.
No, I'm talking about where you were saying about the rumor.
Oh yeah, go on then. Yeah. Go on. Yeah.
Yeah, he says it's not Doctor Who, and it's not a rumor. He's been cast in a drama on Sky.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah, he has already. He's done one thing, but I think actors can do more than one show.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make.
And did you see what William said?
No.
It says, Tim Drury, a drama about Sky Silvestri on Doctor Who in Midnight?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And apparently... Tim did not realize that was a joke. He responded, "No, a drama on Sky TV, the network."
Excellent stuff.
Thinking about it, right? We're now in the middle of January 2022, right? That fella Jodie's going to be playing the Doctor until, well, is it going to be about October, November, or are they going to
Whenever the BBC decide that they've got their centenary.
It's the whole year.
Yeah,
they're doing it on a certain day.
They're going to be doing they're going to be doing it all year, but there's going to be a sort of big celebration centenary.
But whenever that is, if that's when they're going to change the Doctor, well, that's fine. But then there isn't going to be another episode until Christmas or New Year.
Yeah.
So we're now, I say, middle of January now. So they've actually got, you know, 7 months to be able to fit Danny Dyer into potentially filming this Sky One series, yep, which will take 8 weeks, and then moving on to doing a series of Doctor Who and having... Because all they really need to film
is a regeneration.
Regeneration film, a scene. So it's perfectly possible. On that story, Danny Dyer has become the new Doctor Who bookie's favourite.
Oh, is he?
In the last 24 hours. Now this is obviously
the heck is Danny Dyer, though?
Oh, we just explained. He's my cousin.
Who's in EastEnders, right? And he talks a bit like this, and he's a right Cockney, and he's a right geezer.
What's the difference between EastEnders and Coronation Street?
One's set up north.
Probably about 200 miles.
One of those nonces up north, and one's like, oh, geezer's down south, isn't it?
About 200 miles, anyway, essentially.
Danny Dyer is now 2-1 favourites. Wow, they're right come in those odds for Danny Dyer to be the new Doctor Who.
Okay, right. Can I interrupt you just for a second? Mary, do you watch EastEnders?
I do.
You know who Danny Dyer is, don't you?
I do.
Tell bloody Kirby.
Leaving because he's one of my favourite characters.
He's a great actor, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Mm.
Anyway, sorry, Ben, carry on.
He could be a right good doctor.
He would be.
Oi, Rose, come over here, you mug.
Yeah, drop him.
It'll all be like that. Oi, Daleks, not this.
No, by the way, his catchphrase in The Wall is drop him. So that would be quite effective if he uses his catchphrase.
Kirby, have you seen the absolutely wonderful 90s film Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels?
I haven't. He's in that, isn't he?
No.
You haven't, right. just go on YouTube or somewhere, just find a short clip of that where they're all talking Landon Cockney, and any one of them could be Danny Dyer.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the kind of doctor you'll be getting. Not dissing Danny. He's a great bloke and a Hammers fan as well.
So I'll still have to watch with subtitles. Great.
No. He talks in the accent, but he's very articulate. Anyway, were you going to give me some news, Ben?
Anyway, so that was one piece of Doctor Who news. Yes. Another piece of Doctor Who news, in the style of Danny Dyer, is that all the animations past the Abominable Snowman for Doctor Who have been cancelled. They've been cancelled, according to Radio Times, because BBC America has pulled out. But BBC Studios is looking for another partner, you mug.
you're trying to say the news thing I saw, and that they aren't going to be doing any more animations after.
No, they're not. I heard that one, but I didn't read it. They should have had that on the Doctor Who news page, shouldn't they? Come on.
Well, they should have done. When I was a student, I read long essays.
Hang on, I've been interrupted by YouTube. Days, I do apologise.
Now I'm writing short.
Shut up. Right, carry on.
Hey Alexa, play Madonna.
Oh no!
Alexa, stop. Otherwise,
hey,
we're gonna
play Madonna. Hung up.
Alexa,
hang on.
I'll unplug you if you play that.
You have UK driving time enabled.
What?
Do you want to open it?
Shut up.
Alexa.
Hey Alexa.
Anyway, right then. So, if you're going off on a tangent.
By Mary is 3 minutes and 8 seconds.
What? Alexa, shut up.
Down and have a butcher's at this.
A Danny Dyer compilation.
And today we are counting down our picks for the top 10 Danny Dyer moments.
Sorted by either a slush puppy machine, right? You can't. I don't think you should be able to have slush puppies when you want. I think.
There you are, there's Danny Dyer. That's all you need from Danny Dyer.
He could be the doctor, no problem.
I just shut down the tablet.
Because Ian is known
as Alexa, so it can't do that well.
Oh, here's another bit.
And with a cheeky nod to his parents. He's a proper humble lad.
I want to thank my mum and dad for having a rollabout in 1977 and conceiving me.
Oh, what a clip that was. Right, yeah, sorry, Ben, did you have any more useful Doctor Who-related news?
Nah, after talking about me mum and dad doing it, I'm done, mate.
Good, right, we've got some other stuff coming through on the feed. Alan T. Butcher said, Doctor Who news, Ben wrongly predicts the end line of Alan T. Butcher's feedback.
I think you'll find I got it absolutely bang on when I read it.
And Lillian Robbins said, I want the Roof Doctor to be the next Doctor. I've got a funny feeling that won't happen because I'm pretty sure that Russell T. Davis will want to cast his own actors for the role.
Probably, yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. Right, so hopefully soon. Or hopefully when the regeneration happens, not till then. That would be rather cool, wouldn't it, as I've always said.
That would be good, wouldn't it? Mm. If they could do that, that would be really good.
Very unlikely to happen, but it would be immense. Right, I suppose I'd better do a bit of... what's that called again? Oh, yeah, sponsors. Yes, that's it.
I thought you were saying stalling.
Who won? Yeah, I forgot.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Nearly.
Lavazzi.co.uk. I'm only joking. It is indeed whowon.co.uk.
Yay.
Stuff coming for his latest products that you can buy presently, like London 1965. And it's Jamie Glover. I wonder if he's in relation to Julian Glover, who's going to be at Wales Comic Con in April, the one we can't go to. I've just heard that Evangeline Lilly's booked for that, along with David Tennant. Anyway, Jamie Glover reads this Beyond the Doctor story featuring Ian Chesterton and Barbara Wright. How do they do Barbara Wright? I'm pretty sure that she's dead. Oh, well. And then K9 Audio Annual is still available. We talked about this last week. And Sixth Doctor, The 11. I think Mary...
K9's got Wi-Fi.
Pardon? Who's got Wi-Fi?
You heard.
You heard. Who's got Wi-Fi?
Yeah, he won't. K9. You know, that metal dog thing. Has he got Wi-Fi?
Probably. Affirmative.
What's his code?
What else have we got here? Stuff
if
coming soon.
Its nose, does that do the thing where it connects to your device for you?
Possibly, I don't know. But anyway, stuff coming soon. Eighth Doctor Charlie Pollard Further Adventures. Eighth Doctor Stranded 3. Babian the Butcher. Fifth Doctor 41. We talked about that last week. And there's some Torchwood stories. And also talked about last week, there's a load of Torchwood stories actually featuring John Barrowman that Big Finish have shelved because it's John Barrowman. Absurd, but maybe hopefully one day they'll forget about it and everybody can get on with their lives. More important things to worry about than John Barrowman getting naked at some point in his life, because he's done that on several occasions. I bet he really worries.
I'm
when
naked
he...
right now.
he even jokes about it on the DVD in the first season series.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't pulled him up on it, and the scene where he's naked in front of the droids.
Poor
John. Anyway, he's getting over it. He's realised that people still love him. The only people that don't appear to still love him is the BBC and Big Finish. Right, so moving on.
Have you seen any of his latest TikToks? They're hilarious.
Yeah, they're great. He's done the ones where he's doing the Scottish accents. Which he falls into whenever he speaks to anybody Scottish. He just can't not go all Scottish. No, I absolutely love that. I'm really surprised he hasn't.
I know exactly what he feels like. I just, really... sometimes I'm just sitting there and.
A Scottish accent, not a Welsh accent. God.
Oh, God, you're so rude. that was a rather trained Scottish accent,
was it?
I'll have you know.
But what about Billy's accent?
Oh, God.
Hold on, has Billy Kirkbride joined us?
It sounded really miserable, old Billy, then, didn't it? What about Billy's accent?
It was like he was in sulking. The room.
No, but I'm just surprised that they haven't cast Barrowman as an actual Glaswegian, because he can quite clearly and easily do the accent. That'd be quite a thing to watch. Anyway, right.
I thought you were going to say they haven't cast Billy Kirkbride as a Glaswegian. Now, that would be something I'd like to hear.
What, Billy doing the Scots accent?
A bit of Scottish accent, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right, lavazzi.co.uk provide the cosplaying Doctor Who fan with the best iconic knitwear that you can find on the internet.
Master,
oh, godly. I nearly got a really good plug in for you then, Melinda.
It's actually snowing here today, so I might actually have a chance to wear my scarf.
Hey, well, get some pictures going. And yes, so talking of scarves, yes, the Fourth Doctor's iconic scarf, both the Series 18 and earlier versions, are available at lavazzi.co.uk, along with the 13th Doctor T-shirt. Oh, no, that's not the T-shirt, it's a scarf, I beg your pardon. But actually, if you're a supporter of Pride, the 13th Doctor's T-shirt... scarf and T-shirt, the scarf of which you can get from Lavazzi, are a particularly good fashion... compliment to your whatever. Yes? No? Okay. Right, so what have we got? Oh, you agreed with me, of course. Heroes. IWHeroes.co.uk. Currently, the one of the South of England's best providers or sellers of pop vinyl figures. We've got the Pop Marvel Doctor Strange classic vinyl figure. It's one of the items that has just come out, along with the Funko Pop vinyl of Patronus Dumbledore. Because there's a new Harry Potter series film coming out, and the Fantastic Beasts third edition. That's coming out very soon in the cinema. Looking forward to seeing that. Seen a preview. Looks fab. There's also Ghostbusters vinyls, because there's a new Ghostbusters film available at iwheroes.co.uk. Peruse their website, because they don't just sell vinyl.
Do they ship here yet?
No. You're not just people outside this country that listen to this podcast, you know.
No, they sell comics. To buy from them.
I'm pretty sure that they might be able to send certain items abroad, like maybe graphic novels and comics.
Yeah, the other thing you could do, Kirby, is ask your great mate Adam to buy you something and send it over to you, and you give him the money.
But you'd have to pay a bit extra for it, but I'm not going to bother doing that. Right, next week.
Oh, that's just awful.
Fires of Pompeii next week.
Yay!
Good one.
Featuring the 12th Doctor, Peter Capaldi, and the companion of the 11th Doctor, as played by Karen Gillan, star of Marvel Universe and jolly nice lady indeed, who I nearly met until she cancelled at Wales Comic Con. Oh, hang on, what's this going? Stuff coming through here. Lillian Robbins says, the past several weeks you've had subtitles on the feed, but not this week. I did explain that at the beginning, Lillian. It's because it's coming through my phone and not through a posh video link-up thing, which I didn't have because I forgot to charge my video camera battery up. But I think the phone is doing a more than adequate job of providing a video feed. So, Alan T. Butcher... Babian T. Butcher, not Babian T. Butcher.
What does that mean?
Oh, Baban. Sorry, Baban T. Butcher, not Babian T. Butcher.
Yes, we did this last week too.
Did we?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
What does it
mean? Probably trying to get us to say something like really wrong or something.
Baban the Butcher is the name of the character that Colin Baker plays in Blake 7.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh,
okay.
Oh.
And so the Blake 7 has come out with a, Big Finish has come out with a Blake 7 audio play that features the Colin Baker character again. I guess he was very popular when he did it on Blake 7.
There you go. Well, thank you, Mary, for clearing that one up.
And since Alan and I both listen to Big Finish, you know, we're kind of sensitive about this.
All right. So I'm just checking the diary for the next few weeks. I know I've got something on a Sunday coming up soon, but because Deb says you can't do so-and-so on so-and-so. She certainly said I wasn't allowed to play badminton next Monday, so I don't think that affects the podcast. Yeah, it says in the diary, Deb busy, no badminton. So that's on the 24th of January. I must remember that. Not allowed to put badminton on the 24th of that January. Right, so next time we... Oh, hang on.
Hold your horses.
Alan T. Butcher says, just correcting the way Adam said Baban. Sorry, Alan. Sorry, Ben, what were you saying?
Well, occasionally do a... What else have we been watching besides Doctor Who?
Yes, brilliant. I wanted to do that. Can I?
I was going to do. Oh, well, I'm going to start off.
Yes, you can do it because you remembered. Well done. I'm going to step in.
By doing the David Tennant program Around the World in 80
Days.
Oh,
God, yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching that.
He plays a character called Phileas Fogg, who attempts to circumnavigate the world.
Oh, I thought you were going to say circumcised.
80 days. Jeez. And has a wager of 20 grand. Against some bloke who's a bit of an arse. And David Tennant is Doctor Who with slightly floppier hair and a slightly posher accent and a moustache. Part of that is just playing the Doctor. It's can't see past it. It's really good. It was really good. The whole series is on the iPlayer. Watched it all. Really good.
Well, unfortunately, over here, I have to watch it on PBS website. It's free. And how many episodes? Oh, you wouldn't know.
Eight.
They're releasing it as one week at a time here.
Well, they're doing on the iPlayer too, 1 week at a time.
I've watched them all off the iPlayer. So
there's certainly things I need to watch.
Sorry,
I know a lot of people have seen all of it so far. So
yeah.
Okay, I wasn't aware that they were showing them all on the iPlayer.
Yeah, you have the option on the iPlayer to watch the whole series.
On our iPlayer, they're certainly all on there, Mary.
Yeah, there's certain series they do give you advance viewings on certain episodes. I forgot what I was going to say now. Bugger. Well, obviously, there's things coming out on Netflix like Afterlife, Ricky Gervais, which I haven't watched yet.
I haven't seen series two yet because I was waiting for series three to come out before I watched series two, so I can watch it all in a run.
Good idea, but we haven't watched the new series just yet, but we will watch it. Star Trek Discovery Series 4 is out, but unfortunately Netflix do not have the rights, so you have to buy the series. I think it's £20 to buy the whole series on one of Prime's little feeder sites. I haven't done that yet because I can't quite afford it, but I do intend to at some point. Cinema-wise...
Before you carry on, just one extra little thing. I'm currently, as we speak, just about to do a lateral flow test.
I must have passed because Deb would have come flying through the door saying that you're positive. So I did mine earlier on.
Yes, but your daughter didn't test positive earlier, did she?
Oh, true. I don't know. At least you wouldn't tell me. I don't think she bothers with any of that sort of stuff. She doesn't even know what the face mask is. I think she thinks it's one of those things that you put on when you're in the bath with a cucumber over your face. Right.
More fool her.
Indeed. Right. Yeah, so we saw Belfast, which comes out in British cinemas on the 21st of January last week. A very arty, beautiful film, bound to win awards. Already has done, apparently. She's desperate to see Scream, which is just about coming out or come out. It is out, in fact. Unfortunately, it's an 18 certificate movie, and she's unlikely to be able to see it in the media of cinema, but she's probably going to be able to see it via the media of naughty online sites that provide naughty screenings of stuff. There's another film we watched on Friday.
Any good ones? Because there's a couple of films I'd really loved. I'm joking.
Yeah. Licorice Pizza. It's a coming-of-age film, but it's a really good, entertaining film, brilliantly acted, brilliantly directed, and a lot of really good little cameos in as well, and some brand new
actors. The two drops
actors.
Have gone in.
Pardon?
Blue Bottle's mother says licorice gives you a good run for your money.
The King's Man, it's not going to be in the cinema for much longer, but if you haven't seen it, go and see it, because it's really, really good. And of course, Ralph Fiennes is a very watchable actor. Oh, shut up. So that's...
It's going purple. The liquid's in. It's going purple. Oh, it's gone past the T. Is there a line coming up on the T?
But the most exciting thing is stuff that is coming in the cinema in our coming soon feed. Things like The Secret of Dumbledore. Can't wait to see that. The Batman, which I don't really want to see, but Isabella is really desperate to see. I won't watch it. It's too dark and dreary and whatever. So I won't watch that. The Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Can't wait to see that. Thor,
are you
Love
sure
and
that
Thunder.
The sparkly vampire isn't going to make a good Batman?
What?
Are you sure the sparkly vampire isn't going to
be... Oh, you're
be
talking about Robert
Batman?
Pattinson. I'm sure he will, but I'm not going to be watching it. Wakanda Forever. It's another Marvel film looking forward to seeing. There's the Buzz Lightyear movie called Lightyear, featuring Chris Evans, the voice of Buzz Lightyear.
Good morning, everybody.
Looking forward to seeing that. Not that Chris Evans.
Billy Piper's ex-husband.
Yes, not that one, though.
That's a shame. That would have been a really good
Death
film.
Death on the Nile, featuring Kenneth Branagh as... Parot. Ironically, he is the director and writer of Belfast, so he's a very volatile.
He's very prolific.
No,
he's a busy guy.
He does all sorts of different genres, doesn't he? And there's the League of Super Pets, which I probably won't watch. I might watch The Lost City, which has Sandra Bullock and... Who the hell is that? Canning Tatum? What does it say? It doesn't say anything. Yeah. Lost City. Is it Canning?
What is that about?
Oh, it looks like some sort of fun adventure movie. Channing Tatum, I do apologise. I couldn't. The writing was so small. That's not out for a while, though. So there's all sorts of really exciting things coming into the cinema. And bear in mind, this time last year, I think we had no bloody cinema. So it's really nice to look forward to films that are coming out. But I would recommend Licorice Pizza if you like a good coming-of-age movie. It's light-hearted, fun. And a particularly good cameo by Bradley Cooper.
Adam, I must break in at this point, for I have some breaking news.
The cricket has England got bowled out for a very small score. Is that what it is? No?
No, because the breaking news there would be the sound of stump. The breaking news is that thankfully...
Perfect timing.
Breaking news is somebody has just got COVID.
Sorry.
my lateral flow test is negative, but whoever that was sneezing clearly needs to go and do one as well. Oh, I'm very pleased about that. I was getting quite worried.
Is it? That's what your breaking news was?
Well, the fact that I've managed at the moment to swerve the vid again, even though it was in my house again.
Yeah, but it does take a few days to... get into your system.
Not always. It will show up sometimes in 12 hours of contact with someone, and as my daughter was with us for 36 hours from Friday night.
Anyway, Anthony Butcher finishes the... nearly said it, sorry.
Go ahead.
He says he finishes the live feed by saying, obviously, Babe Anthony Butcher is my cousin. Yes, indeed. Right then. Go on, Kirby, before I wind up the show. Pardon?
Wait, you don't want to know what I've been watching?
Yes, I do want to know what you've been watching.
Well, as I've said, I now have Disney Plus, so I've been enjoying The Book of Boba Fett. That is really good.
I only watched episode one, and we haven't watched any further ones.
Oh, well, what did you think of episode one?
I didn't mind it. It didn't make me think, I must watch episode two. Deb,
well, there's
couldn't...
three out now.
I know, but I don't know whether... Even Isabella said, can we sit down and watch Boba Fett? So that doesn't say it was particularly gripping. I didn't mind. I thought it was okay. I don't mind
watching someone. No, I want to watch that. And the good thing is now my eldest daughter has managed to get a log-on for Disney Plus, which we can't watch through the telly because we've got Virgin Media and you can't get it through that, but I can get it through my PlayStation. Unfortunately, my PlayStation now lives out here with me in the studio, so I can play FIFA whenever I'm bored. And all I have to do is take it into the house, pretend it's going to stay in there, get her to put the login details in, then bring it back out here and watch all the things off Disney. Yay, check me out for coolness.
Now, that's a plan.
You could watch it on your phone.
Yes, what were you going to tell me, Kirby?
Let's see. Other things. I finally was able to sit down and watch Hawkeye.
Oh, that was a good series. I like that one.
Yeah, it was very good.
What is that?
I don't
that
like
about the bloke? Is that about the bloke from MASH?
Oh, God. No.
I never really liked... He was one of my least favorite Avengers, but since it's not really about him as much, but passing the arrow along, as it were.
Yes, yes.
It was very good. And also finally managed to see Luca. Haven't seen that musical one yet in Encanto.
Yeah, Isabella absolutely adores it, and she's quite fussy when it comes to watching stuff. So I do intend to watch it. It's still in the cinema, but it's also available to stream on Disney Plus.
Yes, so that's what I've been watching, plus Doctor Who.
What about you then, Mary, apart from Coronation Street and EastEnders?
Oh, yeah, I do watch Coronation Street and EastEnders and Holby City and Casualty.
That's finishing Holby City, that's all I hear.
Holby City is, yeah. Mm.
Okay, well, that's it then. Well, next week, we're going to be looking at Fires of Pompeii. As far as I know, same time, same place. Until then, thank you.
Be sure and let me know in case that changes.
Got to finish the program. Beg your pardon? If that changes, yes, I would actually do that, but I wouldn't do it on air. So until then, thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Please continue to do so. Let's have some more people providing feedback. That would be great, wouldn't it? Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye-bye.
All right. I'm Danny Dyer. I'm going to be the next Dr. Watt. We'll be right back.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.